Good morning, everyone. How's it going? Did you guys enjoy last night's party? How many of you went to the party? I didn't. All right. So for those of you who are actually looking for the after party, it is not in this room. It's the room next door. So you may want to go now. I think they're still partying over there. This is actually a session about deployment and best practices about Power BI in Office 365. I'm Miguel Llopis. I'm a program manager within the Power BI team. And let's see what we're going to cover today. So as I came to Barcelona earlier this week and I started thinking through what we should cover in this session, I kind of changed my mind a little bit. So this was initially going to be a very theoretical session about different implementations, different ways of deploying the service and using it. But I thought that it would be much more fun, and especially given how early it is this morning, to do it more interactive. And what we're going to do is kind of do a quick overview of the typical problem that we try to solve with Power BI, and also try to build a solution from scratch. So we'll literally go through the sign-up process for a little bit, and then we'll move on to a completely empty new Power BI trial, which is something that you could get for free for 30 days and try it out yourself. And we'll go through using all of the Power BI tools that we have in Excel and also in the web to kind of show how you would start creating those reports, consuming them, and finally we'll show also a little bit of the more advanced things, like for instance, a scheduling refresh for those reports, configuring a data management gateway so you could enable cloud access for those data sources, and a few other things along those lines for management and governance. Sounds like a plan? All right, let's go for it. So what's Power BI for Office 365? I'm sure you've heard this this term a million times this week. How many of you already have Power BI service in use? All right, a few of you. How many of you would like to go ahead and try it maybe after this session or next week? Great. How many of you already have a SharePoint online instance? How many of you are already using Office 365? Okay, great. Good percentage. Nice. So Power BI is a solution on top of Office 365 that will give you a bunch of tools and a bunch of infrastructure out of the box, software as a service, that will help you empower your business users to make better business decisions, which is just goodness for your organization. So let's think about a typical problem that we all will have or have faced in the past. I want to introduce you to Bob. Bob, it's a line of business manager in our company. And one day he wakes up and he says, oh, I need to figure out how I'm going to improve sales for our company. So I really want to get answers for these questions. And he'll come up with a list of 10, 12 different questions, like how many people bought our product through our website, how many people reacted to our promotions, what are our different contributors to different social networks, how do I get social data into this, how does the sentiment about our products in different platforms relate to our sales. So he'll come up with a bunch of interesting questions, and he'll go talk to this second lady over here. Her name is Anna. Anna as in business analyst. So she is the person who usually works inside Excel, and she is in charge of creating reports that then will be served up to the management team, to Bob's team, so they could make the decisions. But she works with very different types of sources. She has a bunch of data in text files or CSV files. She knows about a couple of databases maybe that somebody else prepared for her. And that's when this other guy, his name is Stuart, he came into the picture. So Stuart is a data steward within his company, which is in charge of making sure that the data is curated, the data is up to date, and the data is discoverable for the business users and the business analysts that really need to get access to that data. So that would be Anna and Bob's team. But he might also be he might also have a sibling, and I didn't have a picture for that guy, but let's just assume that they're twins. So his sibling is called Tim, and Tim is the person sitting on the IT department who is also in charge of actually deploying and maintaining these systems. And they both are really connected to each other. Depending on the type of organization that you are on, they might just be the same person. Or if you go all the way to the other extreme, like for instance, if you think about a company like Microsoft, we have over 100,000 users. And we have hundreds of administrators and we have hundreds of data stewards sitting in different departments. So for instance, you go talk to our finance team at Microsoft and you'll find a few data stewards there who will be in charge of curating the data so that the analyst could do the financial analysis. And the same structure kind of repeats through the sales department, human resources, and even within the engineering teams. Like, I'm a data steward for my own team. Within the Power BI team, I actually use our tools to look at project management, and I query our Visual Studio TFS databases, like our backup SQL servers and so on, to actually look at bug jails for my team, see how we're doing with burn down charts, and so on and so forth. So, and I do all of that on top of our technologies. But how do we enable, through Power BI, a set of solutions for all of these people who try to contribute to just get those insights? On the consumption side, so we have a few tools for Bob. Bob is going to be able, through Power BI, to consume reports through the web, through a mobile device, or even ask natural language questions with Power Q&A. Anna is going to be able to use a bunch of tools to get data into Excel, to analyze the data, to find correlations, and to visualize it. All within Excel, all within the product that she's used for over 10 years now or over 20 years now. And she's very familiar with and she doesn't want to leave it. So let's just make it easy for her and just give it everything in place. And what do we have for a steward and for team? We have a few other things here around the IT management pages, the configuration pages, and we also have what we call the My Data or My Managed Data page, the data stewardship portal, which is something that we'll walk through and will basically help steward creating annotations for those data sources. For instance, creating a friendly name, creating a description for the data source. It'll help him analyze how many people is using the queries or views that he created and he published to the entire organization, and it'll also help him with a bunch of other things around management for those queries, mostly from a data perspective. And of course, all of that, because of being on top of Office 365 and SharePoint Online, is scalable, is manageable, and is trusted, because we, Microsoft, take care of all of that for you, so you just need to focus on the things that you care about, which are mostly around the business. With that, let's go into demos, and the rest of the session is going to be showing a few demos, as well as mixing it up with some of the slides, some of the blocks that we saw from the previous slides, so that you can connect all of the pieces. So let's switch back to this other machine, and let's say that I'm one of you, maybe tomorrow, maybe over the weekend when you go back home, and you say, hey, I heard about this Power BI thing, I want to try it out. So you open a browser window, and you go to powerbi.com. www.powerbi.com, don't miss that. And within powerbi.com, you'll find our marketing site. Here, you're going to get a lot of information about videos. You're going to get a lot of tutorials about each of the tools, so kind of 10 times more information and content than what I'm going to show right here, but hopefully I'll get your curiosity and I'll get your interest, so you'll go look at this later. And there's this big button here, sign up. So when you go there, you'll get redirected to a different form, and here you'll be able to say which country you are in, and your first name, last name, email address, and so on. And then the second step is actually going to be about, I can't go into it because I need to put those details, but it's going to be about creating a unique identifier for your tenant, which could be your company name, or if you actually want to just create the trial version, you could do your company name dash demo or something like that. The trial will last for about 30 days. It's completely free for you, and when you sign up, what you'll get, it's a new instance of Office 365 with an E3 license, so you could take care of things like Yammer, document management with SharePoint, Oslo, and a bunch of other social applications on top of SharePoint, and of course, Power BI as well. So let's take a look at that. And right after you click next, 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 and sign up, you'll get an email in your inbox that will say, click here to start provisioning your SharePoint tenant. It will take you about 45 minutes top to go through the screens, basically configuring the new users and so on. And once you do that, you're going to land in something like this, which is my Power BI page. Notice how I have a bunch of things here on the top menu, on the navigational bar. I have news feeds, I have all of the sites. I could configure as many SharePoint sites as I want. Maybe I would create a different site for each team within my organization. It's completely up to you. You're the administrator. In fact, let's go take a look at the administration menu. I have right now three different things that I could manage here since I'm the admin, because I'm the person who created this tenant. I have O365, I have SharePoint, and I have Power BI. Let's go straight to Power BI. So right now I am Tim. I am the IT guy who is setting up all of this, and it's gonna just take me a little bit of effort to go in and configure a few users. But as you can see right now, I almost didn't configure anything. This is just a getting started page. There's more content here for how you can set up the environment, how you can create users and groups, how you could enable cloud access for some of your data sources. And then I have my system health. It's all taken care of for me. I could look at the logs to see what's going on, what events came up. I also have the ability to add data sources. Right now, I don't have any of them, I believe. Yeah, that's right. I don't have data sources. I don't have gateways. This is something that we're going to set up through our end-to-end demo, but just to give you a sense for how this is a completely empty and clean environment, and we just started from zero in this demo. And with that, let's just really quick switch back and talk about what we can do with this environment. So as we said, now that the environment is set up, we tell this to our business user or maybe ourselves. We say, okay, let's go create something in Excel. Let's go create a report. And we're going to use all of these tools. So the first one, Power Query, is something that you'll need to download separate. You can go to powerbi.com and you'll find a link to download the Power Query add-in. It works in both Excel 2010 and 2013. You'll need to have a Pro Plus version of Office, or you could have an Office 365 version. And with that, you'll be able to install Power Query. Now, Power Pivot, it comes as a different add-in download in Excel 2010, but it also comes in the box with Excel 2013. So if you got that version, you're covered. Likewise for Power View, Power View is not available in 2010, but it is available in 2013. And Power Map, you could download separate also in 2013. So long story short, if you have the latest version of Office 2013, which you could also get as a trial as part of this, you could just download it and install these two add-ins, Power Query and Power Map, and the other two come in the box. So you'll be able to get the four tools together. And at least to evaluate them, it will give you a good idea of what could be possible later. Okay, with that, let's switch to Excel. Sorry, I didn't want to open that workbook. I want to start a new workbook. And what we're going to do now is create a report about the S&P 500 companies and their stock information for the last few years. So let's imagine this scenario. You're a business user and you need to analyze trends in the stock price for all of these companies by sector. Like we're going to look at IT companies, energy companies, financial companies. But we run a service behind the scenes ourselves to extract that data, and we put all of that into Windows Azure HD Insight. How many of you have used HD Insight, or at least know what it is? It is Microsoft's implementation of Hadoop. It's built on top of Microsoft Azure, of Windows Azure, and it will help me connect to all of that data, and it will help me manage vast amounts of data, and I can connect to all of that from Excel, because if I go to Power Query and I go to other data sources, I have an option out of the box for Microsoft Azure HD Insight. And what this is going to help me do for now is consume files that are already sitting in the file system. Now, if you are already familiar with HD Insight or with Hadoop in general, you might have heard about Hive and Hive queries. This is something that we don't support natively, but we're planning to support over the next few years, hopefully, over the next year. And that will basically help you define the queries within Excel and push them out to the server so they're executed. But for now, let's assume that we have some Hive jobs running in the service, and they're just spitting out files to a specific directory. And let's go and connect to our HD Insight cluster, which is going to be that guy. So what I'm going to see when I connect is the file system structure. And this is distributed across many different clusters, but it's all abstracted for me. And in this case, I'm going to go to that folder, scenarios. And now I'm seeing all of the files within this folder. And I could do lots of different things here. For instance, I have a lot of metadata about each of the files, and I could start reshaping these or filtering these in any way that I want. I could also connect to a single file, maybe by clicking one of these links here on the binary column. Like if I click this binary link, it will take me to that specific file. And you see how I've connected to that file. It's just a CSV file that contains dates, and it contains the stock symbol and the price at opening, at close, and the highest and lowest at any time of the day. So this is nice. I could connect to a specific file, reshape it, and load it into Excel. But what we're going to do here is something different. I'm going to go back to the step where I have my list of files, which is going to be here. And what we're going to do is mash up together a bunch of files, like think about dozens and dozens or hundreds of files that have all the exact same structure. This is a very common pattern that I've seen in many companies where maybe there's new log files that are dropped every day, every week, and they all look exactly the same. They all have the same columns, and they're just data for a specific periods of time, and they just should get appended one after each other. How many of you have in a scenario like that or have seen something like that? All right, a few of you. Great. So with Power Query, we gave you an out-of-the-box way of just combining all of that data for text files and CSV files. Now, if you have something different, like, let's say, for instance, a workbook that has a few different worksheets and you need to pick up differently, that's also doable, but it's a little bit more difficult. And there's a few blog posts out there that can help you with that. And we can talk about that offline if you want, if you need that. But for now, let's just go and say, I want to find all of the files that contain NYSC daily prices. And just because I have a bunch of them, and many of these are just gigabytes and gigabytes of data, I'm going to pick a subset. So let's just say that I want to connect to A, B, and C. So in this case, I just filtered to those three, but I could have said just something like, give me all of the files that start with this prefix, like NYSC daily. And every time that we refresh the query, we will reach out to HD Insight, and we will find all of the new files in the directory that meet that condition, and we'll just add them to the query. So you always get the freshest and latest data. So now that we're here, what I could do instead of clicking on a single binary, I could go ahead and click this two arrow down thing on the column header for the content column, which is combined binaries. It's also available here on the home tab on the ribbon. So once I click that guy, Power Query is going to go ahead. It's going to combine all of these binaries, understand that the resulting file also looks like a CSV, and then it's going to combine them all together, bring them into this screen. You see the steps on the side. I'm just kind of enumerating what you're seeing here. So what happened was we click combine binaries. We found a file of that size. So a big file, I think, is like 1.2 gigabytes or something like that. We figured out that it was a CSV file, and that all of the rows look like they have numbers and things like that, except for the first one, which looked like text. So we said, oh, that must be actually the column headers. So we automatically promoted them for you. And finally, what we did was, well, this is a text file, and it doesn't have type information for the columns, but we think we're smarter than that, so we could go ahead and start changing type for your columns. And this is all based on preview data. So in this case, what we did was look at the top 1,000 or top 2,000 rows and figure out that all of them look like number, whole number, decimal numbers, and dates. And we automatically converted the type for you, which, of course, you could modify by removing this step and customizing the types if you want. I mentioned something that this is based on preview. This is really important. You see how snappy the environment was, and even though I was dealing with over 1 or 2 gigabytes of data, and it was immediate. And this is because we just give you a little preview of the data, a few thousand rows, enough that it will give you a sense for what the shape looks like, and then you can start reshaping and preparing the data for the analysis. Which, in this case, what I'm going to do is, first, I need to go and filter out something. So again, something that illustrates why this is a preview. We give you values that we found within this column in the preview data, but we say that there might be more because we know that we just look at the top 1,000 values. When I click load more, we actually found another value. So this exchange thing, anyone has a clue of what's going on here? So when we combine the files, each of the CSV files had headers. So the exchange header that you saw on top of the table, it's repeated in the second file and in the third file. So we need to actually filter that out. And once I do that, now I'm pretty sure that I only have data rows where I should. And what I can do now is to start cleaning up my columns, so I'm going to remove that guy. All of the types have been figured out for me, so that's pretty straightforward. And I'm going to do a couple of things with dates. Because I have a date column, I could start creating quick calculations next to it just by clicking around to extract the year component and extract the quarter of the year component. So I want to end up with something that looks like the year followed by the Q and the number of the quarter, like for instance 2009 Q2. So let's see how that would work out. I'll select a column and I would go into the Add Column tab, which will help me create new columns that perform a calculation and reference the currently selected one. In this case, because I have a date column, I could go into the date drop-down menu. And within here, I have a bunch of different options. I could just extract the date only, or I could extract information about the year, like the first day of the year, the last day of the year, just the year component, and likewise for month, the number of days within the month represented by that date, and a bunch of other things like for days, day of the week, in numbers like 1, 2, 3, for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and so on, quarters, weeks, and so on. So in this case, I'm just going to go back to the year, and I'm going to click year, and I'll get my new column right here. And I'm going to do a similar thing for quarter, in which I'll go and extract the quarter of the year. So now I have these two columns. And actually, something interesting that you saw here is that now, even though I've selected two columns that are numbers, I get all of the text transformations as well. So we're trying to simplify the notion of data types for the average Excel user, the average business analyst, so that they could start doing things like, for instance, merging columns. Even though this would be actually an operation that typically applies to just text, we figured out that when you do that, you actually mean a text combination, a text concatenation. So I'm going to go ahead and merge those two columns, but I'm going to do it with a custom delimiter, which is going to be the capital Q, and I'm going to change the name of a column. Let's say that I want to call it YQ. And here I have my year quarter column in the format that I wanted. So now I can use these to filter, and let's say that I want to focus just on a specific range of values, a specific set of quarters. So let's say that I just want to look at quarters within 2009. I could define a filter just as easy as that. And now that I've filtered out my data, I think I am pretty much good to go with this query. I'm just going to change the name. I'm going to call this stock data. And I'm going to say close and load to. I'm going to pick the second option. So by default, if I click close and load, it's going to try to land this data into the worksheet. Now, I know that this is over 5 or 6 million rows because of how many symbols that I have in these files, how many different stock symbols I have, and how many days I have. So what I'm going to do is just load it, but disable the load of this query because this is just an intermediate query. Because I'm going after something different, and I'll tell you what it is right now. So what I need to do now in the load to dialog is going to be pick the second option to only create the connection. And then click just load without adding to the data model or anything. And this will just create the query and disable load. Now what I would like to do is augment this data with information about each company. And I would like to bring in the company name. I would like to bring in the industry that they belong to, the sector that they're on, the address of their headquarters, and a bunch of other things. And I would like to do that for just the S&P 500 companies. And I can easily find that data through online search in Power Query. In this case, it's going to be some open data. So if I type S&P 500, I'm going to find component stocks from Wikipedia. I look at the list here. It actually looks quite as like what I want. But I need to filter out some columns. So I'm going to go ahead and just click Edit first. And this will give me the ability to reshape my query a little bit. I want to get rid of that column. And I also don't need these last three columns, so I could just remove them. But everything else looks pretty much like what I want. Again, I will just do only create the connection because this is not my final result. And now I have these two queries. I have organizational data, data from my organization that came from an HD Insight server that it's just spitting out files for our organization, which is the stock data. And then I have public data available from Wikipedia through the Microsoft Public Data Service that came in the second query. But I want to combine both of them. And with Power Query, I could just go into merging these queries. I click the merge button over here. Or I should be able to click the merge button. Oh, sorry, I was in edit mode with the cell. OK, great. I'm back to business. So here I have my queries, and now I can click merge. And within this experience, I could pick up the two tables to merge. I could pick up stock, and I could pick up S&P 500, and I'll say that they'll both match with the symbol. And I'll say that I only want to include matching rows. So I only keep the stock prices for those companies within the S&P 500 list. And I'll click OK. And now this is going to go and try to do a join between those two tables. In this case, because we were consuming files from HD Insight, it will try to download the files because we actually don't have a backend that we could push this query to. But if this was, for instance, a database, we would be able to push this T-SQL statement down to the database to perform the join in case it came, like both tables came from that database. So this might take a few seconds. We will see how good the connection is with us. But after that, what I'm going to do is just clean up a little bit the columns, and then we'll go straight into Power View to create a visualization. Any questions so far while this is running? Yes?
HD Insight, how to secure the data?
On HD Insight?
So
I'm not an expert on HD Insight myself. I'm more on the business user side of things. But if we talked after the session, the question was how to secure the data in HD Insight. So I know there's different types of authentication that you could use. You would have a user account that's basically a long account key that you, like every user would need to provide that. There's also the ability for you to say anonymous access.
But in this example, you entered only some
username. I didn't because Power Query stored the credentials for me. Sorry, I missed that part. Since I had connected before from this machine, I specified the long account key for HD Insight. It didn't ask me again because it tried with that same key and it worked. We tried to shortcut things for the user. Good point. Thank you. But if you want to talk later about security models for HD Insight, I can put you in touch with the right people.
Morning.
Good morning.
I think with Power Query, sometimes when it's a self-service BI tool, so the user would, a business user can maybe make his own query. Is there functionality in the future to be able to take this query and make it
SSIS
enterprise to put it into SSIS?
So we're talking to the SSIS team to see if we can add this to the next version of SQL Server. So basically, you could use Power Query as the design tool for your Power Query queries, your M queries, and then take that query code and then push it to SSIS. Still can't promise anything, but it's really frequent feedback from a bunch of you guys, and we're really trying to make it work.
Just one more, because obviously you got your data up there. I really like RD Remote App in Azure, and when I build up an RD Remote App service, the Power BI stuff isn't automatically loaded in to that, so I'd have to go and get the bits. Is there going to be a support for that in the future? Because I might want to do this on an iOS machine, and clearly I can't, although I've got Excel and Office 365 on there, I haven't got these add-ins. So if I've got a remote desktop session into Azure running this stuff, and my data's on the back end up in the cloud, then I can actually do this stuff from anywhere on any device.
Sorry, I didn't get your question. It's here
okay,
about...
Okay, so if you use... Remote app in Azure, when you have Excel and you load up Excel, the add-ins for Power BI are not
they'll
there.
They'll all be disabled by default.
They're disabled by default?
Yeah.
So is there going to be a gallery item where they're enabled and also with Power Map and Power Query built in so I don't have to do any work because I like to play with the data and not play with the infrastructure?
Oh, so you would like to... So I think I hear two sides to that question. One is about having the add-ins always enabled out of the box with Excel. We're working on that. We're working on making BI much more prominent within Excel for the upcoming versions. And the second part of the question, I think I heard you saying something about not making the user go through these steps when they try to connect,
so
but reuse these queries. Yeah, so that's actually a very important value proposition from Power BI. What I'm going to do... You kind of spoiled the second part of this demo, which is once I have the final view that I want with these two data sources combined, I'm going to share this query back into the Power BI data catalog. So the next time that somebody searches for it within online search in Power Query, they will see both public results and organization results, and this query will show up. In fact, data stewards would be able to also certify this query so that it will rank higher when people searches for it, and it will show kind of as sponsored results in search. Okay, so this finished already, and I have all of the cons from the first data source, and then I can go ahead and expand nested columns from the second one. In this case, I want to expand everything except the ticker symbol because I already have that one in the first table. And there you go. Now I have all of the stock price lines in a flat, single flat table combined with the second table, which has the company names and the address and the sector. Now, this is the query that I'll actually want to close and load to the data model. So I would say only create connection and add this data to the data model and click load. And up until this point, we've been just running against a preview of the data for all the editor transformations. Here is when we're actually starting to download all of the data. So you'll see this number go up to hundreds of megabytes. Now, I'm not going to do that because it would just make us wait here for 5 or 6 minutes or a few minutes depending on the connection. I'll just stop that and I'll move to a different workbook which has exactly the same set of queries. You see that the final one report has 20,000 rows and the preview, if we mouse over it, you see that it is the same, like it's the exact same preview of data. And the data sources are just the same. So we have our public data feed for S&P 500 and the EHD Insight, which is our HD Insight blob. Great. With that, I can go ahead and actually, since we just answered that question, if I find this, that this query is interesting, not on this workbook, but on this one, if I find this query interesting for other people, what I could do is just go and send this to the data catalog. Now, this is going to ask me for my credentials to sign in, which is the credentials that I had when I signed up for the account, for the trial, which were Miguel at Consoro, Microsoft.com. And you see that the Consoro thing is intentional because I like these, you know, toy data sets like Contoso, AdventureWorks, and Northwind. So I always came up with variations for those since I have to create a new free trial every 30 days. So I, instead of Contoso, I use Consoro. Instead of AdventureWorks, I use AdventureWalk. And instead of Northwind, I use Northwine. So just trying to get creative with my my tunnel names. Okay, so now I can send this this query to the data catalog. Let's say that this is S&P 500 stock history. I could add the description. I could add some documentation URL. So let's say maybe that. I could just upload the first few rows for preview. I could disable this. And keep in mind that every time that you run a query, it's being run with your own credentials. So let's imagine, for instance, a different scenario in which I am actually somebody working on a query for HR data, and maybe I'm pulling out my own salary, and I'm matching that up with tax data or maybe with something else. But I don't really want to share a preview of that data because it's sensitive. It's confidential data for me. I don't want to share that back into the system. So I could disable preview here. But once somebody else downloads that query and gets prompt for their credentials in their own machine, they would specify their username or their Windows account and so on, and it will just pull the data just for them. So there's kind of two layers here. One is the actual definition of the query, which is what gets shared into the data catalog, and the other one is the actual user's data and credentials, which just stay within your machine. So let's say that I want to upload a few rows here since there's no confidential data. And then I can specify who to share with. I could just share this with me, so I maybe use it from a different machine. I could just share with everyone, or I could specify specific groups of people. This is security groups. So let's just go with everyone and click send. Now, in this dialog is where somebody that had the data steward role within your Power BI tenant would be able to say, certify this query for others and kind of make it official. Okay, so now that I have my query shared, I should be able to go into online search and say S&P 500. And before, we were not logged into Power BI, so we only had public results. Now, since I'm signed in, I have two tabs. I have public and organization. And you see how I have one result under organization, which is actually the query that I just shared. So somebody else could go from here and just say load or edit and just repeat the same thing and start building something on top of the query. All right, so we are running a little bit short of time. So what I'm going to do is switch to a different workbook in which I have already created a Power BI report based on this same data. So basically what I did here was pull the dates information with the stock symbols and the stock price at close time and created a line chart on top of that. And then I also put a couple of slicers, and I was also like slicers for the industry. And I was also looking at within each of the industries, the companies with the highest average stock price at closing in this period. So I kind of followed that process. Here's my line chart, and now I could move to different slices here. So maybe if I look at technology companies, I would see guys like Salesforce, Accenture over here. And I also used some of the tricks from my session yesterday, like, for instance, the one about hiding the yellow warnings on top. So I put my image there. So if you didn't come to yesterday's session about Power BI and you want to learn a bit more, I recommend you to look at the recording on Channel 9. Okay, so now I have this Power BI report ready to go, and there's a few things that I could do here now. We already kind of walked through from a data steward perspective. We already talked at how I could share this query back into the catalog, but there's something else that I could also do, which is connect to the managed data portal within Power BI, and for that I'm going to go to here, I'm going to open a new tab, go to My Power BI. So I'm going to go to My Power BI page, which is the personal page that I have for my user in Power BI, and I'm going to have a few options here. I have my favorite sites, my favorite reports, but I also have a data tab on top, this guy over here, which will help me switch to the Managed Data Portal. So this is a page that it's available for every Power BI user, and it will give me analytics of the usage of the queries that I have shared into the catalog. As you can see, this is a fairly new tenant, so I don't have almost anything. I actually published another query yesterday with Citizen Europe that I searched for it myself, but I never used it, so I don't really have any users for my queries yet. But I could also look, besides at analytics, I could also look at how many queries I've shared. I could specify more information. So, for instance, in this guy, which says incomplete, it is incomplete because I haven't specified information for all of the data sources. So I could go to the data sources tab, and I would find that stock data, for instance, it's already complete because I had already specified the name. This actually came up from yesterday practicing the session, so I provided a name for it. And what I did here was just specify a display name, description, and I could also provide an approver for access requests. So let's think about this scenario. If you're the owner or the administrator for this HD Insight site, you'll be able to specify your email account here. So the next time that somebody tries to use this query from search inside Excel, they will get prompt for credentials. But if they don't have them, they'll have a button that says request access. And that will generate an email right for you that you can triage and then share the password with that person if you think you should. All right, so that would be for data stewardship and management. And now let's switch gears to how somebody would complete the loop and publish this report to a BI site. So we were looking at our My Power BI page. And we mentioned here that there's two tabs for favorites and data. There's also the ability to access sites. Here on the side, I have kind of my favorites and also the populars. I only have one site. I could create more if I go through the sites view over here. But what I'm going to do is just go to the default one. And I'm going to see the front end of that site, which contains a bunch of reports that have already been featured and favorited by the person who published them. I also have a bunch of samples that you could deploy as part of the free trial, the 30-day trial for like Olympics data, World Bank indicators, and a few other things. If I go down here, I actually see all of the documents that have been published. And in the interest of saving some time, I already uploaded the S&P 500 workbook yesterday night. And what I could do here is either favorite it or add it to the feature report so it shows up on top. I already added it to Q&A, which is the natural language tool, and we'll walk through that in a little bit for how to consume the data and use it. And I could also schedule refresh, which I'll do later. So for now, I'll just go ahead and click Add to Feature Reports. And now it shows up under Feature right here. And I could also favorite it from here. So I think now I'm ready to go because I've already published the report to the place that I want it. And I could hand over this to, in this case, it's going to be to Bob. So now that I have the report ready for Bob to check out, I'm going to tell him, hey, it's on the BI side. You could go in and check it out. So what Bob will do is just go back to the same site. Now I'm Bob, so ignore the admin tab and ignore that this says Miguel. And Bob will come here and say, oh, okay, here is the report. This is nice. He'll click on it and just start consuming the graphics and the charts right from within here. So now, as I mentioned in just the session about Power View, we have two different versions here. We have the Silverlight one that loads by default, and it is this one. And as you can see, it is fully interactive. I could cross-filter, and I could slice my data by different categories as well. And something else that I could do here is use the HTML5 version, which is the one that will work greatly for you in many different devices, including phones and whatnot. So now I'm in the HTML5 version, and you see how it has all of the same affordances. It's actually much quicker and faster to load, and it also gives me something extra, which is the ability to select more than one item, for instance, on slicers. And just that one is just an example. We're really heavily investing on this HTML5 version, and it is the one that we're going to promote and prioritize going forward within the team. So just to give you an idea, if you're debating between which one to get your users trained on, make sure you use the HTML5 version. All right, so something else that Bob could do, besides seeing just this report, he could be looking at the, let's go back to the site. He could be just looking at the site all up and say, rather than drilling down into a specific report, I would like to just start asking questions. So he could do that from within here, from within the feature reports area. There is this little link up here, Ask with Power BI Q&A. Once you go in, you'll see a lot of predefined questions. And these are just for the sample workbooks that got deployed with the tenant. But there's this plus button where you can go and create new predefined questions for any of the workbooks that you have already uploaded. So let's ask a few things. Maybe we ask for the security with the highest stock volume. And you see how I get completions for this text because we are smart enough to understand the entities and the names that you're asking for. And there's things that you could do here on the Excel side, which is improve your data model within this workbook to kind of create synonyms and other things that will help parse and create bigger language coverage for your workbooks. And there was a great session yesterday that Marco Russo did on that topic, which is called something like preparing and optimizing your data models for Power BI. So you should definitely check that session out for more details on how to do things around improving representations of dates, synonyms, and other things that will just improve the capabilities in Q&A. I could even create something more advanced here. For instance, I could say in information technology, and it would just give me that specific slice. Or I could do things like, for instance, the highest average stock price at close. So I could also do things like average and keywords like that for any numeric column. Or maybe I just, you know, I just want to look at the specific company and see how they're doing. So let's just say Salesforce.com, and it will give me all the rows for that specific company. I could get a little bit more concrete with my question, say stock price, close by quarter, and that will give me the average stock price within each of the quarters that we had in the report. Or I could say something like Salesforce.com versus Accenture. I think it will look like that. Hold on. Okay, Accenture PLC, average stock price at close. All right, so you see how Bob is able to start now asking questions and iterating on them. And if they like them, if he likes the answer, what he could do here is start pinning these questions. And with these buttons over here and this pin symbol on the side, he could start pinning these questions. So the next time he comes back to the site, he has a set of predefined questions that he could use. And the last piece, the last option that we have for consumption of these reports would be within a Windows application, a Windows 8 application, which is Power BI, which is available for Windows 8. And it will soon be available also for iPad and other platforms. And what I could do here is exactly the same. I could browse my favorites. In this case, I have car sales. It's syncing, so here it is. It's my S&P 500 report now. And I have exactly the same experience. It's all consistent now. In this case, it's also touch. I could start drilling down into this data and consuming it everywhere I go. Great. So let's close that. And let's go back. All right. So we've covered quite some ground. We covered everything on the consumption side. How you guys feel? Any questions so far? Am I going too fast? Too slow? All right, good. So let's get into the final part, which is going to be now that we've identified and understand how to set up the environment, how to create our first report, we serve it up to Bob. He's happy with it. He's just consuming it all the time. But there's one issue. The data, it's always the same. We're never refreshing this data so far. And you could do things like opening this locally and hitting refresh and saving it back. That will all work, but it is so painful. So what we would like to do is actually automating the refresh for this report. So how do we do that? This will require a little bit of collaboration between the admin of the Power BI tenant and the end user. The way this works is that the admin will have to set up specific data sources that you want to use within Refresh. He'll have to first set up a data management gateway that will provide access to those data sources in case they were on-premise. It happens to be that today we require a data management gateway for every data source, including cloud-based sources. So, for instance, for HD Insight, I wouldn't really need to do that because it's accessible from the cloud everywhere. But because of how our infrastructure is set up right now, you will need the gateway. We're trying to optimize that, so you would only need to set up the gateway for things that really need it, that things that are on-prem. But what they will need to do right now is set up a new management gateway, and then once you've set up the gateway on a local machine, which also could be a VM if you want to keep it running outside of your environment, you'll have to go ahead and create data sources. And for each of the data sources, the admin will also set up the credentials. Because, of course, if something ran under Anna's credentials in Excel, she will not want that to be the credentials used when you're running over there for hundreds of users in order to refresh this report. So you'll be able to go through that in the IT admin experience. For that, I'll just go to the admin dropdown and click Power BI. And I'm back to the admin center. Here I have a few resources, so I could check out cloud accessible data source, I could check out corporate or data feed data source, and I could check out a few other things around refresh. But what I'm gonna do now is go to data sources. So I don't have any. I'm not very familiar with this, but I'll go click the plus button, and I have a few different options. I have three choices for setting up SQL Server, Oracle, or SharePoint Online Document Library refresh, which are outside of Power Query. But I also have the Power Query option. And what I could do with this one is connect to pretty much all of the data sources that I have in Power Query with a few restrictions. So these are all the ones that are supported, but we can also talk about the ones that are not. So the first bullet, it's about not being able to refresh web data for now. We have a couple of bugs there we're trying to fix real quick. SAP Business Objects, Active Directory, HDFS, HDinsight, like it's okay though, so we'll proceed with that. Facebook, Exchange, and data from the current Excel workbook. We'll come back to this slide right after, but I want to show you now how to go through the refresh process. So now I'm back here, I'm the admin, and I'm going to click Power Query. So it tells me, hey, you don't have a gateway, you need to configure a gateway first so that then you could register a data source. Sure thing, I'll do that. So I'll click yes, and it will ask me for details about the gateway. I'm going to say gateway one, and it'll say one gateway. It will let me do things like enable cloud credential store to achieve business continuity for the gateway. Does anyone understand what that means? Yeah, me neither, so I had to click the learn more. So what it actually means is that when you configure the gateway and you register a few data sources, you'll have to provide credentials for each of those data sources, right? And those data sources get stored in the gateway. So what this checkbox means is that if I uninstall the gateway and then install a new version later, do I want those credentials to be migrated to the new gateway? So if I do that, if I want that, I'll have to click that checkbox. Otherwise, we'll keep the data, the credentials, in a place that will not be migrated to a new installation, so you'll have to set up the credentials again when you update the gateway. So let's keep that box checked and let's click next. Now I've created this instance, and now I need to connect that definition to actually an on-prem machine that I could use. So this is now telling me, well, you need to link this gateway instance from the cloud with something that has the gateway running on-prem. And for that, you'll need to install a gateway utility in your computer, which I could do through the download button here. Now, in the interest of saving time, I already downloaded that, so it is this data management gateway installer. Let's go through that. Click next, accept the EULA, click next, install. So now this is a little bit more involved because it will ask me now to start registering, get a key, I'll have to copy-paste the key around. So put your helmet on for a couple minutes. But keep in mind that this is something that the IT administrator will do. It's not something that we think a business user will do. Now, we're trying to get to a point in which we can empower business users to set this up automatically so they don't need to worry about calling IT and figuring out all of these things. We'll get there, but for now, this is mostly an IT-centric operation. And once I click finished, it will load, hopefully, great. Now I need to register the gateway. And for that, I need to copy this gateway key that it got generated. Here is my gateway key. I can show it, sure. Click register. Now I need to specify how should I access the endpoints, whether I want to use HTTP or HTTPS, and whether I want to create a certificate. So let's say that I want to use a service-generated certificate. I could specify a password, so the usual thing, 12345, the most secure password in the world. And now I can save the certificate locally. Let's put it over there. Now this is deploying a bunch of certificates. Now it gives me the choice of HTTP or HTTPS. I'll just say all right. I could configure the ports here so I make sure I have access through those ports to my system. And now I'm finishing creating the gateway. The gateway is running in this machine. I could stop the service. I could register it and so on. But now if I come back and click finish, I'll be able to now specify a data source. So what does this connection info mean? If we go back to Excel, now this is the part that somebody that created the query in Excel would sent to the IT guy. And the way we do this, for instance, at Microsoft, is that we have a few SharePoint lists and SharePoint forms where our business users go and say, well, here is the data source that I'm trying to automate refresh for, and here is the connection information, here's the query that I define. And this all gets sent to the IT administrators, and they kind of triage each of them one by one and start adding them, and then contact back the business users when it's ready to use. But what they need to do here is go back to Excel, pick the S&P 500 workbook where I have my connections, and I'm going to go into the data tab. I'll create a new worksheet. Okay, I'll go into the data tab. I need to go into the connections dialog, and I'm going to access the details about the underlying connections. So every Power Query query has by default classic data connection behind the scenes. How many of you are familiar with data connections, have used the data tab to connect to data? Great, good. So you might already know how awesome this dialog is. You need to click properties. So you actually have four of them real quick. The structure that a Power Query connection name has is Power Query dash and then the query name. And there's also a connection for the entire data model. In this case, I'm going to go use the report one because it's the final query that I created. And I'll click properties. I'll have to go to the definition tab, and I'll have to copy the entire connection string. Let's make sure that I do this right. I could do Control A and then Control C. And I come back here, and I'll paste my connection string. This is all Base64 encoded, but if we were to decode this Base64 string, it will actually be the Power Query formulas for this query. So it will be all of the table.remove columns, split columns, and so on. Now, if I click Next, this is going to start scanning the content of that query. It will decrypt the Base64 text. It will parse the formulas. It is a static parsing. So, and what I mean with that is that, for instance, if you were to dynamically generate a URL, for instance, or a file path, it will not be detected this way. So that's one of the limitations that we'll go through in the list later. But for something like what we did here with two static addresses for both the S&P 500 feed and HD Insight, it will be automatically detected, as you can see. So now I can go and specify a name for HD Insight. Let's say that I want this to be called the HD Insight, and I want to say stock data in the cloud. Now I can select the gateway, and I already have that one installed, so I'll just click it. Now this is trying to connect to it and then say, okay, I found you. Now you need to set up credentials for this data source. So now this is contacting back to the client, and it's launching a form where you get to specify the data source settings. So this goes back to the question of that guy over there who I think he left. Probably he didn't like my answer. About the Azure keys. No, actually, it was you. It was you. Great. So here I have to specify the account key for HD Insight on Data Management Gateway, because this is not Excel, so we're not reusing the Excel credentials. And what I need to do for that is, actually, this is a very nice model dialog that never goes away. What I need to do for that is come here and pick up my account key, I'll copy and paste. And now I need to specify a privacy level. This determines the way that data gets merged together. So for instance, if I were connecting to two data sources that are considered public, we could send data from one to another. Like we could push down data and execute those queries there. For instance, if I pass data from a website to a database to kind of query or filter by a specific values from that website, we would send the data across. But there's privacy implications with that, so we're trying to give you the flexibility to say, well, if I'm connecting to that database, that thing is organizational. Or if I'm connecting to this file, this thing is private, it's personal. So never send this information to those other data sources, because somebody could interject that information and just make use of my private data. So for those cases, you would use organizational or private. In this case, I'm just going to say this is organizational, and now I can test the connection. It worked, great, so now I say okay, and now I need to just save these credentials. It's configuring, so you see how it's green, it's good to go now. Let's do the same for the second one. In this case, this was the S&P 500 list. I'm going to use the same gateway. And I need to set up the credentials. It's going to launch the same application. So in this case, at least the gateway is smart enough to know that this is a public HTTP feed. It recognized the service, and then it says, I'm going to connect to this with anonymous access because it's publicly available, and we know that this is public, so it doesn't even let me specify a different value on this dropdown. I need to test the connection first, and then I have to click OK. It's saving the credential now, and then I'll finally click Save. I need to specify a name without an ampersand. Let's try this. Gateway. Let's repeat that part. Sorry about that. Test the connection. Click OK. And click Save. All right, good. So now we've configured these two data sources. And I could test the connection here. It's going to basically ping those two data sources through the gateway with those credentials again, doing the combination of them. And this should work. Great. Connection successful. So now I click Next, and it's going to ask me which users should be able to access these data sources to refresh these queries. I'll say just my user because I don't have any other ones, and then I'll say save. And now I have these two data sources ready to go. Great. So now let's switch gears, and now I'm not Tim anymore, I'm not the admin anymore, I'm just Anna, who created that report and uploaded it to the BI site. And then she went and said, she went to her BI site, let's say, she went over here. And she said, okay, I want to explore the site. And she uploaded the report, so we're back to our BI site. And we have our S&P 500 report over here. And then she wants to say, great, I'm going to go ahead and schedule data refresh because my IT guy says that this is ready to go. And then she can go through here. It has some history because I was trying it last night. But you'd usually go to the settings tab. You see how the schedule is not enabled. I could turn it on. It will detect the data connections that are available within this workbook, the ones that have been already loaded to the data model. So this is an important piece. If you connect to something through Power Query, you'll need to load it to the Excel data model in order for then be able to schedule refresh. If you load something just to the worksheet, you'll not be able to see it here. Now I could configure the refresh schedule, let's say maybe daily. We have some ability to specify when to end by. I think this is because I'm in a trial. I can only schedule this for a couple months out. And I could even customize what time of the day roughly I could do this. So let's say it's 9:30. So let's say 9:45 is as close as I can get. There's 15 minutes quarters. So actually, this is a very subtle way of putting it here. It says as close as possible to. So this means we actually go and try to schedule the job at that time, but there may be other stuff running in the service at that point on the gateway, maybe if you configure multiple workbooks. So this will be just queuing things up so that hopefully it will run around that time. And then you could say maybe even provide the notifications email address. So if I want to get notified myself when refresh is done or when refresh fails, so I could come back and see what's going on, I could specify my address here. And then I could say save and refresh the report. So now that I've done that, I could go into the history tab again and see that it is trying. It's just adding it to the refresh queue, and then this will go through refreshing, and eventually it will say it worked or it failed. If it fails, it actually tries two or three times automatically, so that maybe if there was a temporary issue, maybe it's been fixed on a retry. And this will take some time, but what I'm going to do while this goes on is just switch back to the deck and kind of go through the rest of the caveats and limitations with this experience. So with that, what I've done, it will just complete the end-to-end, and now Bob will be able to go to this side or through the mobile application and be able to check the latest and freshest data in this report every morning. Now, there's a few limitations. I was mentioning a few data sources that don't work right now. Most of them are either because they use a different authentication mechanism that is not currently supported. Like if you look at the next to last point here, web API keys and OAuth 2. So those types of authentication are not supported yet in Refresh. They are supported in Power Query Client in Excel, but not in the Data Management Gateway. And therefore, we can't make Refresh work yet. And this is something that we're trying to work through over the next few months, but still not there. The second point from the top, it's about native database queries. So we didn't go through a connection to a SQL Server database, for instance, but if you try that with Power Query, you will see that there's an option for you to directly specify a T-SQL command. And we added this option a few months ago because we saw a bunch of people that already had their T-SQL queries defined in other tools, maybe in Power Pivot, maybe outside of Excel, like in Management Studio or something like that. And they wanted to just share those queries or share those statements with their business users so that they would get the same results. And they would save time and not have to reconfigure that query directly or from scratch inside Power Query. So this is actually not supported yet because of how we need to statically analyze these queries to detect the data sources to connect to. So we still can't parse these T-SQL statements. The third one I quickly mentioned also earlier, which is about dynamically generated source paths. This affects invocation through functions that maybe one of the examples that I usually do in demos, it's about connecting to a page that has multiple pages, like, and just like through get parameters, you could get multiple tables with different indexes and then append all of those tables together. That wouldn't work here because in that case, we would be concatenating a base URL with an index at the end at runtime. So our static analysis for detecting the data sources would not work in that case. We already mentioned the auth limitations. And the last point might be obvious, but just to call it out, we are releasing previews of new connectors very often. The last one that we did was Salesforce, objects and reports. So since this is not yet a final feature in Power Query, it will be in a few months, but in the meantime, it's not available on the refresh side of things. But this will be just a matter of time, and it will be available maybe between 1 and 2 months after it becomes available in the client. A few additional things to consider. The first one, I went to the Excel. Sorry, there's a question?
Hi. Just a question there on the limitations. On your previous slide about the supported data types.
Yes.
Not this one, but... the list of supported data types, yeah. See there, the SharePoint list online, supported authentication type anonymous. So yep. Does that mean you can't connect to SharePoint online sites?
Do you happen to have a SharePoint site that is not English?
No.
So it is English?
It is English, yeah.
Oh, okay, but we should take that one offline and work through the details. I can put you in touch with engineers on the team who can troubleshoot with you, if that will work.
Okay.
You should be able to connect to SharePoint list through anonymous access if you enable that.
Yeah, what about non-anonymous? So, I mean,
so
I
non-anonymous,
most
you could
SharePoint
use...
sites would have some kind of.
Yeah, so for SharePoint list online, you would either do anonymous or through an org ID, which actually uses OAuth. So, this goes back to the next point where OAuth is not yet supported. If it was a SharePoint list on-prem, you could use Windows Auth or anonymous. So were you using a SharePoint on-prem site or online?
Online.
Online. Yeah, so for now, it's because of the limitation with OAuth.
Okay.
So if you require that. But if you're finding issues with Anonymous, let me know. We can follow up and see what's going on with your list.
What about the other type, the SharePoint Online Document Library native mm-hmm. type when you're creating data sources? How can you use that to connect to online lists?
Yeah, so actually, yeah. So when the third line that says files, it also includes files that are sitting on a network share, files that are sitting on SharePoint, as long as they use either Windows or anonymous authentication.
No, sorry. When you're creating a data source, you know, the way you have Power Query, you have SQL, you have Oracle, and then you have SharePoint Online Document Library.
Those three entries on top in that little flyout,
yeah.
The three above are for things created outside Power Query, like through Power Pivot.
Okay.
Now, the last one is the one that says Power Query is the one that you should always use if you created your connections with Power Query.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, great. So going back to the additional considerations. So the first one over here, we kind of walked through it. You need to go to the Excel data tab and click connections and get to the connection string through that dialog. If you go through Power Pivot and find the existing connections dialog and you get to this connection and you copy that connection string, it will not work yet. There are some differences in the generated connection strings between Excel and Power Pivot that we still need to reconcile. So for now, only the one in the Excel data tab will work. Number three, it kind of goes back to the privacy levels concept that I was mentioning before. You'll need to have one defined by default when you register a data source, which you could do manually, or we also make some assumptions for you. So for instance, SQL Server and Oracle, we assume organizational. You can change it as part of the setup. For anonymous access data sources, like for instance the public data feed that we connected to, we assume it's public and we actually make it fixed so you cannot change it as you saw. And then finally, for the data sources that you connect to outside of Power Query connections, like the ones we were just talking about through Power Pivot, it doesn't really matter what you specify for this setting because Power Pivot does not support the notion of privacy levels in the same way as Power Query does. And the last one, also it might be stating the obvious, but if you're connecting to a data source through Power Query that requires an additional driver, for instance, Oracle or DB2 databases, you will have to also set up that driver in the machine that it's running the gateway so that when that query is refreshed within the gateway machine, you'll be able to pick up that driver and connect properly to the database. Okay, we have 4.5 minutes left. There's a few sessions. Most of them, I think, they're all in the past, but they're available at Channel 9. Sessions about Power View, Power Query, SAP, Power BI Overview, and Power Pivot Data Models for Power BI, which is the one about Power Q&A that I was mentioning. There's a few other labs. I kind of put only one here because there's so many that I will have to create two or three different slides. But there's pretty much one lab and one instructor-led lab for each of the technologies that are about Power BI, including Power Query, Power Pivot, Power View, and BI Sites. A bunch of resources, hands-on labs, free SQL Server 2014 training, Azure and all that goodness, resources on Channel 9, Microsoft.com Learning, TechNet for forums, Developers Network, and complete an evaluation. It's really important for us. Use this code. It's really, really important for us that you share your opinion about the sessions. Whether it's good or bad, we always like to hear about it. Please tell us if it was too deep, if it was too lightweight, too high level, whatever you feel it's right so we can improve this content for the future. And thank you so much. This is my last session at TechEd this week. I've had three of them. They'll all be available online on Channel 9. You could also reach out to me through forums for Power Query, Smile Frowns in Power Query. I'll keep a look at that. And I'm really happy to have been here with all of you this week. And look forward to seeing you in the future and to see you trying out our service, Power BI, and sending us questions and feedback. Thanks a lot.
Hello.
Yeah, questions?
Yeah. How does it work with user-level security? I mean, let's say I've got data from sales around the world, but I've got a user which should see sales only from European markets. Is it possible with this, or...?
What data source are you using? I'm assuming you're using something like...
I have an on-prem database with sales from whatever, and I want to limit the access.
So basically, for role-level or user-level security, you'd specify the credentials at the time of connecting to that database, and then the database will take care of all of it as part of refresh.
So it has to be on database level?
Yeah, you could also do it at the query level. Like you could control the visibility of those queries through online search when you publish them to the data catalog. But the actual data source access it just delegates back to the data source, and we support most authentication mechanisms for all of the sources that we
but
support.
But let's say I've got a list of markets the users should see, and I upload an Excel with data from all the markets, not just the ones the user should see. But so if he or she uses this data source, she will see all, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so they will run, in the case of refresh on scheduled refresh, it will just serve up everything that you saw through the user that you configured when you registered that data source.
Okay.
So actually that goes back to one thing that was there. You could configure the next screen after specifying the credentials. It was about which users are allowed to see this report under these credentials. And I think for now we just support one credential type, but in the future we will have combinations that you could say this credential for those users, this credential for those other users. There is alternatives for you. For instance, you could set up different BI sites and give access to every different group of users to one of the sites, and you could publish different versions of the same workbook and then schedule them as different data sources. And then each site, like for instance for North America, you have North America sales with those reports just in that region on that BI site. You'll have Europe over here, you have something else. Again, it's just SharePoint management and visibility of sites combined with Power BI.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Great, so I think we're being kicked out. If there's a few more questions, we can take them offline. I'll be around for the next hour or so. Thanks a lot.